Hey folks, welcome to another
Hello.
Episode of Transition with Bobby
and Becky.
We're so glad that you joined us again tonight. We really appreciate it. Before we get started, why don't you hit that share button and share this video with your family or friends, just whoever you're related to or friends with on Facebook.
Your enemies.
Your enemies. Let's get it out there, okay? We're going to talk about the church tonight. And there's something that has been on my mind for a long time, and I haven't really had the platform, the chance to really talk about it to the public. But since we've got this new platform.
Oh, now he's free.
We can say almost what we want to say. I mean, I don't want to come across as a big know-it-all or I'm better than you or anything like that. That's definitely not the case. But we want to speak truth into you, into your life. And it helps us too, you know.
Yeah.
We're all in this together. But when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about a building.
Right.
We're talking about the body of Christ. And when I was growing up, and Becky's in the same boat, mm-hmm. We both grew up with, you know, a pretty good sized family, and our mom and dads took us to church. And I remember when I was a kid, it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever we had a revival or anything that was going on at the church, we were there.
Right. We were too.
We didn't miss unless somebody was sick or we were on vacation or something like that. That was very, very rare.
Rare.
But when I joined Mid-South back in December of 1982 and I moved away from home to Sheridan, Arkansas, which is only about 2.5 hours from where I grew up, I was on my own and I could, you know, pretty much do whatever I wanted to do. Make my own decisions because I was out there on my own. And so I pretty much just kind of stopped going to church.
Mm.
Believe it or not, I know that's a shock to a lot of y'all, but it wasn't because I just turned my back on God.
No.
It's because when I started singing with Mid-South, it was Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, most of the time. And so to me,
you
I felt
in church
like
all four.
I was in church probably more than most people.
Five services a week then.
And to me, in my mindset, it was like, well, when I'm home off the road, why do I want to go to church again? Because I was just in church 4 or 5 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid, really stupid.
Unwise.
Very unwise, yeah. No, I just call myself stupid. How about that? Ignorant. But yeah, that's the way I did for 10 years, believe it or not. And there's a lot of people that are that same way, especially in the music business.
Mm.
And
yeah.
They're like me, you know, they think, well, I'm out there ministering 4 or 5 nights a week in churches. Why do I go to church on Wednesday night when I'm home? Or if I'm actually off on a Sunday,
yeah.
Sunday morning or whatever, why would I go to church? Why don't I just take this time to just do what I want to do, relax, mow the yard, go fishing, go see a movie, go out to eat, whatever. And there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff.
It sounds logical.
It does. But it wasn't good for me.
Mm.
I mean, I was giving out and giving out and giving out, but I wasn't receiving back in. And we've got to have that. So we wanted to talk about the church and church attendance a lot. You know, there's a scripture that I want to read to you. And it's in Psalms 69:9, and this was David. He said, "Passion for your house has consumed me." Now, when we talk about passion, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when we talk about passion?
Sincere love, devotion,
drive, devotion. It's exactly what I had when I was 14 years old, I knew when I was 14 years old that I wanted to travel, get on a big old bus and travel all over the United States, Canada, just wherever, and sing on a bunch of stages across the country and sing on the Grand Ole Opry and at the Quartet Convention and all that, you know. And so I had that drive. I had that passion that that's what I wanted to do. And the Lord gave me the desire of my heart, and he blessed me and gave me that opportunity just right out of high school. And so that's what I did for 15 years. And now I'm doing it with my family. And that drive, that passion is still there. It's never gone away. So when you're talking about that, to me, that sounds like, man, I want to go to church.
Yeah.
And I want to be around God's people. I want to be ministered to. I want to receive the word that the pastor is preaching about. And I want to make friends with people at the church. And I even want to get involved in the church, which wasn't really that great of a thing for me. You know, talking about being singing on stage all the time, the last thing I wanted to do was go to church and get on stage and sing and play guitar or whatever. But eventually I did.
He was a little stubborn.
I was a little stubborn at first. Becky jumped right in there. I mean, as soon as they let her get on stage, she was up there singing.
It was a year.
Was it a year?
Yeah.
It seemed like it was a year, but anyway, we just wanted to talk about that. And I think Becky has a few stats, and I've got a couple of stats,
because I'm the nerd.
She's the nerd. But I'm going to read mine first, and then you can take off with yours. But this is about us guys, us men. You know that when a mother comes to Christ, her family will join her at church only 17% of the time. 17%. Wow. But listen to this. But when a father comes to Christ, his family joins him 93% of the time. Yep. How important are dads?
Daddy's got some pull.
I'm telling you. And there's 113 million men in America over the age of 15.
Okay.
Only 69 million of these men make no profession of faith in Christ.
Wow.
69 million make no profession of faith of Christ.
It's well over half.
Isn't that something? Wow. So you got some stuff there, Becky?
I really don't.
Yeah, you do. You got a whole paper full of stuff.
Well,
give it to them.
I don't know if I should be reading these.
Go ahead.
But, the typical U.S. congregation draws an adult crowd that's 61% females, 39% male. And that's a gender gap that covers all ages. On any given Sunday, there are 13 million more adult women than men in America's churches. So, guys, if you want to meet a girl, hey, you know, go to church.
That's the place to go right there.
This Sunday, almost 25% of married church-going women will worship without their husbands.
And we see that.
Yeah, and that was me, too, because you were singing and I was going to church. So, I mean,
You did travel with us for a couple of years. I took the girls.
That was...
And you were able to go to church on Sundays when I wasn't home. So, you're worshiping without me, but it wasn't because I just didn't... I was staying at home in bed or whatever, went fishing or played golf or whatever.
Midweek activities usually draw 70 to 80% female participants. I don't know if that's true at our church. I don't think it's quite that high.
No, our church is kind of different from a lot of churches that we sing in across the country, you know, because it is true. There's most of the churches we sing in, there's more women in the church and more women on stage.
Participating, doing
leading
things,
worship.
Yeah.
And a lot of women come without their husbands. Their husbands just, I guess churches don't seem important to them.
Yet what you said a while ago about only 17% of the time does the family follow the mom to church, Yet the dad, they'll follow the dad 90% of the time. I mean, talk about important. Dads are important.
Oh, yeah.
That's dad, not news to you.
My dad was important. Now, my dad, when I was, up until I was like 5 years old, he didn't go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was raised in church. His dad was a Pentecostal preacher. So he was in church all his, you know, adolescent up to teenager till he, you know, graduated from high school. Then he went and did his own thing, kind of rebelled and stuff. And, but I remember my mom, thank goodness for my mom. She took all four of us kids, got us dressed. Well, not the two older ones, but me and my sister, my little sister, got us dressed, ready for church, and took us to church, you know, Wednesday nights, Sunday morning, Sunday night, while my dad on Sunday morning would stay in the bed because he was out late singing in clubs and things like that. So, I can remember going in there on a Sunday morning before we were ready to go to church. And he was laying in the bed, and I said, are you coming to church with us? And he said, well, not this time, son, maybe next time. But he finally did.
He finally did.
And I can remember, it was a Sunday morning, and I don't remember what the preacher preached about. It must have been a really good one. But I remember he walked the aisle and went down there and knelt at the altar and rededicated and gave his life to the Lord, and never looked back, you know, just kept firm. And from that point on, he
was in church.
Was in the car. Got us, let's go, you know,
out
the driveway, honk, 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 you know, let's go.
That sounds,
you know,
familiar to me.
Yeah, your dad did the same thing, didn't he? But he took us to church. He didn't send us to church. He took us to church, and that has made an impact on me. I knew I was doing wrong by not going to church all those years. You know, it wasn't like I didn't ever go. I went every once in a while, but it wasn't consistent like it should have been.
Yeah, I can relate to that because I was singing with my family group, a couple uncles and an aunt and a couple other band members. And we just traveled regionally. And it was just one summer. For 3 months, I was not in my own church on a Sunday morning. Now, I'd go on Wednesday night. But at the end of those 3 months, we realized what had happened. And my mom and I were talking, and she said, when's the last time you were at church on a Sunday morning? And so, you know, that got me thinking, looking back at the calendar, and I hadn't been. And she said, let's not let that happen again. So it really, you know, I'll never forget that. She said to me that day, you give out, you minister, and that goes for us now and other Christian singers, you've got to be fed. You've got to be plugged in and ministered to in order to give out. And I mean, the most important thing you can do is a daily quiet time, a daily devotional. Just fill yourself up, get yourself filled up daily, but well, go to church.
It all starts at home, in the home.
Yeah.
And then, you know, goes to the church. But I was telling you, 10 years, you know, I was not faithful to going to church. And when I met Becky, she asked me where I went to church. And I said, well, I go to Cornerstone. And she was like, well, I've been wanting to check that church out.
It was really cool. I was working for country singer Billy Dean. And I had just stopped going to Two Rivers and was out of church for about a month, but was actively looking for a church. And one of Billy's band members' wives was in, he just had one wife. She was talking to me about this great church that they were going to in Madison, Tennessee, called Cornerstone Church. And you ought to check it out. And so I hadn't made it there yet. And then I met Bobby right at that same time. And he said, Cornerstone Church.
I didn't tell her. Well, I hadn't been going to church.
No, he didn't tell me that.
Trying to make a good impression, you know. But
we
went, and we kept going. We got married there, and then we were faithful there. After I got off the road with Mid-South, you know, we were there. I got very involved in the church then, and I sang in the choir for a while, put on a choir robe.
Oh, my goodness.
And every once in a while I play in the band if they needed a bass player. But then I became the sound man there at the church. And so we were heavily involved.
You found your niche.
I did. We were heavily involved. Becky sang in the choir also, sang on the worship team. And so we had all of our kids were dedicated there. All were baptized there. So we were pretty faithful until we started traveling on the road and we became unfaithful. No. We were there on Wednesday nights when we could be there, because usually the weekends we were gone traveling, mm-hmm. weren't able to be there on Sundays, but Wednesday nights we were there. Mm-hmm. If we were home, we went. And they had Friday morning prayer meetings like once a quarter for every Friday morning for a month. Mm-hmm. They'd do that. Something we would like get that. The kids up at, 4:30, something like that? Close to 5. And we would be there. It would start at 6 a.m. And we would have an hour prayer meeting at our church. And so we had grace. We didn't have justice then. But we had, we may have justice there a couple of times.
Nope.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Weren't doing it then. But we did take 4 kids with us.
We did.
And sometimes it would be in the wintertime when it was freezing cold outside. Yeah. And you just get them up in their pajamas and wrap them up in blankets and throw them in the van and just throw them in there and just take off to the church and get out and have an hour prayer meeting. Then come back home and I'd go to work and Becky would homeschool the kids and feed them breakfast and do what moms do, what mom teachers/teachers do. But what I'm trying to say is we were faithful, mm-hmm. and we are still faithful. And I'm not patting myself on the back saying, no. Hey, man, I'm better than you, you know, and all that. I'm not. I'm just trying to encourage you because I can tell you.
We know the blessings from that.
There is blessing in that. And I can tell you, I was just going to say that my life is, I have a great life. Now, it's not always.
It's not perfect.
Not always roses and a bowl of cherries.
Wait, did you say great wife or great life?
I have both. A great wife and a great life. That's exactly what I said. But I can tell you that if I was not in church, if I wasn't faithful to the house of God, I think my life, our relationship, my kids.
We may not be here today.
It would be a mess. I'm telling you.
We may not even be sitting here together.
We wouldn't be sitting here doing this. No.
Well, definitely not. And God knew what was coming. When you got back in church, got involved, and we had our first child and the things that happened there, and we've already talked about that. You know, the statistics I heard years and years ago were that when there is a child with special needs born into a family, 90% of dads walk out, 10% stay and thrive. And this is in the 10% category. I have a brother who also is in the 10% category. And God knew that you needed to be here for me and for Grace and for all the kids.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so I just want to encourage you dads that are watching that, man, you are the priest of the home. You are the leader of the home. Yeah, you're supposed to be the spiritual leader of your home. And if you're not taking your kids to church or going to church, you're doing yourself, you're doing your kids a disservice, man. I'm just telling you. I'm just being straight with you that you are. So you need to get it in gear, man. Like Joe Biden says, come on, man. You got anything else?
I just want to say that we're wearing shirts from our church.
Our church, United Church in Gallatin, Tennessee.
Yeah.
We've been going there since 2018. And we were talking about Cornerstone. We got married there, had our kids there, not had our kids there, but they were dedicated and baptized and they all grew up in that church. And so, man, that it's hard to leave a church you've been to for so many years. You've had so many memories and done so many things there. It's just, you know, you have your family, your church family there. But we kind of had to because new leadership of the church stopped having Wednesday night services. And that was the only time we could go Wednesday nights because of our travel schedule. So we knew that we had to look for a church that had Wednesday night church and youth service on Wednesday nights and kids service on Wednesday nights. And we found that church and we're so glad we did. Pastor Dan Smith.
We didn't know if we would like the pastor.
Well, yeah, that was one thing that we
not true.
Weren't sure of.
But we liked him.
We've known
we
Dan.
There.
We've known Pastor Dan since he was a choir boy
at Cornerstone
Church. Yeah.
We watched him come to Cornerstone and flourish.
He did. He became the worship pastor.
He did what his mom taught him, bloom where you're planted.
That's right. And now he pastors the church that we go to. Been there, was it 10 years now? Has it been 10 years?
Yes.
I think it's been 10 years.
Yes.
We've been there almost four of those 10 years. And we walked in that door, I knew we were home.
Yep.
The people just greeted us with open arms, the youth pastor, my kids. It was just awesome. And, you know, we were talking, we sing in a lot of churches. And I know I always refer back to churches we've been to. But we sing in so many churches that when they say, amen, you're dismissed, people make a beeline for their cars. I mean, they're out of there as fast as they can get out. And I don't know where they're going or where they got to go, but they don't hang around much. But not our church, man.
I got to get to Cracker Barrel.
I guess that's what it is. But man, our church, you know, especially Wednesday nights, Sundays too, when we're there on Sundays.
Yeah.
But like Wednesday night, last night, Wednesday night, we're there. And the pastors
get home till 9:45.
Yeah. We got a 40 minute drive both ways. And so we're just talking and fellowshipping. People are just standing around talking and just laughing and having a good time. And the pastors start going around, locking the doors and turning the lights off. Like, you guys need to get out of here. We got to get home.
We don't take a hint very well.
No, we don't. We just keep on going. But, I mean, we just have great fellowship. And that's a big part of church. You need people in your life. Now, I'm sure there's some people out there that they say, well, I was hurt in a church.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Happens a lot.
Because there's people at church.
One of my relatives.
There's people at church.
There's people.
There's people.
People aren't perfect. That's for sure.
And they're not perfect.
Had a relative that he grew up in church all of his life. He was a big giver. He would give large sums of money for different things the church was raising money for. And on top of his tithes and offerings. And the last church he was in, he gave a big sum of money. They were raising money for, I don't know if they were going to buy chairs or what it was. And then something else happened and they had to spend the money on something else. And he got really mad and he quit. And he said, I'm never going back to a church again.
Wow.
He started watching T.D. Jakes and Jimmy Swagger, started sending them his tithe. And years after that, he had a heart attack and passed away. And, but Jimmy and TD didn't come to his funeral.
Well, so, no.
But, we need fellowship. We need friends.
Yeah.
It's the best place to make friends.
What's that verse? Hebrews 10:25.
Are you talking about the forsaking?
Yeah.
Don't forsake.
Yep.
Yeah. It's, Hebrews 10:25. You're right. Very good. It's in the New Living Translation for you New King James people out there that don't like different translations. Basically says the same thing. It says, and let us not neglect our meeting together, which is saying, let's not neglect going to church together, as some people do.
Especially.
Encourage one another, especially now that the day of the Lord's return is drawing near. Now, this was written over 2,000 years ago, and he's talking about the return of the Lord's, the day of the Lord drawing near. Mm-hmm. So how much nearer is it today?
It's a lot
than
nearer.
It was then. So I don't know about y'all, but I really believe that we are living in the last days. And I've heard that all my life, but my goodness, you can't turn on the TV. You can't look on the internet. You can't listen to the radio without every day just about seeing something that's going on in the world or our country mm-hmm. that points toward the return. So we just need to get our act in gear and get in church and get committed, get dedicated to church and serve in any way you can. You may not be a singer, you may not be a musician, but there's other gobs of other positions in the church that they need help in. Mm-hmm. Parking lot. We have coffee and donuts and things like that. You know, somebody's got to work
hospitality.
That.
Hospitality.
Ushers. Mm-hmm. Bunch of different things.
Media. It's a big
media,
one.
Media. If your church is doing Facebook Live.
Yeah, that's a big one.
You know, that's a big one right there.
Children's ministry is always a favorite.
Children's ministry. That's one of my favorites right there. No. Well, I didn't have to
do
that.
It is for some, actually.
We used to have to do that.
Yes, we did. We did it.
Church we were at before, when you had a kid in the nursery, you had to serve in the nursery at least once a month, once Sunday a month.
On that thought, the only other thing that I had on this paper that I would like to share before we end this is that at some point we have to get past ourselves. And what he mentioned, you know, taking off Sunday or taking off time and not going to church because it was a day that he could do what he wanted to do. Well, sometime we have to get past that. And we have to go to church for somebody else, because the Bible talks a lot. I've got a lot of scripture references here about why we should go to church, to honor one another, to instruct and admonish each other, to show kindness and compassion to each other, to love one another, to exhort one another, to spur one another on in love and good works, to refuse to use liberty to serve our flesh, but through love, serve one another. It's about loving each other. Mom taught me a long time ago, Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And then you'll have joy when you do that.
Your mother was pretty smart.
She was really smart.
Really, we sure miss her, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
But the first and foremost reason, it's kind of at the top of my list, is it says, the Bible says, when two or three are gathered in his name, who's going to be there? Jesus. And, you know, that inspires me to go to church. But we have to get past ourselves, like I was saying, and get past, you know, what I want to do, and go to church to bless somebody else, to pray for somebody, to encourage somebody. That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about, eh? For you Canadians watching. You know, church is not only all that, but it's like you say, when you go through a crisis, a death in the family, you know, sickness, lose a job. I mean, there's always somebody at the church that's going to help meet that need.
Yeah.
You know, we've had people from the church we went to before, the one we're going to now, just show up. We didn't know they were coming. They just showed up with food. You know, one time they brought us at the church we went to when the kids were real little, a couple boxes of Christmas gifts and toys for
That's
the kids.
That's when we were poor.
Yeah.
Not poor, but.
Well, no. And they brought us
a bunch of little kids.
They brought us a turkey.
Yeah.
And then hadn't been too long ago. You were sick or something and I was on the road.
Yeah. And can I say her name?
Yeah.
Cindy, my friend Cindy. And her husband, Dennis Surratt, they brought chicken soup and emergency. I mean, I was here with Grace and I couldn't just leave her and go get something. And it's hard work to load her up. And I was just, you know, at home needing stuff. And she found out about it and she brought it over, drove to my house on a Sunday afternoon and said, here you go, babe.
And that's
really nice.
That's the kind of thing you get.
That's what church does.
That's right. When you get involved and, you know, don't just go in there and sit on the back row. And then as soon as they say you're dismissed, just run out the door. You got to stay, hang out and, make some friends,
yeah.
You know, there's people there that you probably have a lot in common with.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's just fun. It's fun to be around God's people. So I hope we didn't make anybody mad out there or offend anybody.
I hope we made you.
You did? Yeah. But I hope that what we share, what we say, don't come across as arrogant or, well, those people think they know it all or they act like they got it all together. We don't. We definitely don't. We're still learning as we go too. So, but well, I'm going to pray before we get off here. And I hope this has encouraged somebody that's kind of straddling the fence and, you know, has been out of church for a while and thinking maybe I should get back in. I think those Bowen people are telling me the truth.
We are.
We are telling you the truth. We're telling you the truth in love because we love all of y'all. And we want to see you one of these days. We want to see you in heaven if we don't see you down on this earth anymore. But I want to pray with you before we go. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to speak into someone's heart and mind, Lord, tonight. And I pray that that we would be an encouraging vessel that you use to speak into somebody that hasn't been faithful to the house of God. And maybe this will encourage them to get faithful to the house of God. And maybe there's somebody out there that don't even know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that they would ask you to come into their heart and forgive them of their sin. And you will do that if they'll just ask, and you'll make them a new creation. Thank you for this audience. Thank you for the people that are tuning in and listening to us. For everything that you've done for our family and the things that you're going to do that we don't even know about yet. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, God bless y'all and thank you for tuning in again. And we'll see you next Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central Time, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for Transition with Bobby and Becky.
Good night.
God bless y'all. Good night.